You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the mobile Right Side studio, broadcasting down yonder in Jefferson County, sending the remote signal back to the powerhouse studio in Gadsden, where Butters is sending it out to the world. And yeah, man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, we're waiting right now for connectivity with Congressman Gary Palmer. We expect him on the air momentarily. And as soon as he gets on, we'll get him on the air with us. In the meantime, I do have a couple of text messages here. Not as many as usual, so some of y'all need to come on in and get your text messages going, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. John from Harvest said, with regards to DEI, I said, DEI fits this administration perfectly. He said, Biden is a purposely divisive political figure. He paints half the country as a threat to the country while pretending to be a unifier. DEI by design divides the country by race while pretending to promote justice. DEI's real motto is segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Wow, John, man, that is a significant text, brother, and thank you for that. Ben from Decatur says, regarding DEI, play the jackassery sound effect with that segment. You are absolutely right. And then Scott from Athens says, you mind telling the audience Fauci will have his first post-retirement questioning in a closed meeting? Alabama's federal reps need to be reminded we want Nuremberg 2.0. We had elderly who died alone on ventilators and sentenced to death with sedation and denied early treatment. Scott, you're right, man. We need to see Fauci needs to own some of this. And then last one I'll take before I go to the phones. TL from Huntsville says, what a great show today. Thank you. And to Butters, too. He said, I wish I could also thank Chris McKenna and Ben Bull for what they're doing. Well, you just did, brother. I read it out, and thank you for that. All right, Butters, you good to go, man, on your end?
I believe so.
All right, well, let's do that then. I'll tell you what, one of the members of our Republican delegation from Alabama, who is a member of leadership actually in Congress, is Congressman Gary Palmer, who is on the line with us right now. Congressman, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Phil. Headed back to Birmingham from Montgomery.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us today. Let me ask you, were you on the junket to the southern border that a large body of the Republican caucus went to?
Yeah, I was. There were 64 members of Congress did that delegation trip down there, and every one of them were Republicans. And as I expected, someone got word to the cartels that we were coming, and so they held people back from the border, except for a handful that waded across the river and then got up against the riverbank on the Texas side when they saw the delegation move and cross a bridge, cross a canal. They waded across the canal and came up the riverbank, and I hung back when I saw them and photographed them, took pictures of them as they were squeezing between the concertina wire and the freight cars that Texas has put there to try to keep people from crossing. They were from Venezuela and Honduras.
So maybe the solution to our border crisis is just for the Republicans to go down there every week.
You know, I said that kind of as a joke, but I've been to the border. I've been to the border in California and Arizona, down to McAllen, Texas, second time to Eagle Pass. And I learned something this time that I think is very instructive and also very, very concerning, is how the cartels have integrated themselves into the U.S. economy. They're running legitimate businesses. They're in banking, even into car dealerships. And just in the Del Rio sector, Phil, they're making $32 million per week. And, you know, the guys that I photographed coming up, the Border Patrol stopped them and ask them where they were from, and like I said, Venezuela and Honduras. We don't need them coming like that, but the ones that really worry me is the ones who are coming in undetected or that get away. They elude capture. I had a rancher tell me Wednesday that he's had the same fence cut 77 times since December 28th. That's not 77 times in a month or a year. That's 77 times in a week. I've had another talk about they stole this guy's backhoe and drove it 46 miles running through fences and until it ran out of gas, I guess. But it's no longer a crisis. It's a catastrophe.
It's
worried
an invasion.
Sick about. Yeah. Well, we picked up 312 known or suspected terrorists. And I like to remind people it only took 19 to carry out 9/11.
Yeah.
That's just what we picked up. There's thousands of Chinese and Russians that have come in that we know about, but there's probably, Jim Jordan thinks there's between 1.5 and 2 million gotaways or people that were never detected. And it is, in my opinion, and I hope this nothing ever happens, but I'm just really, really concerned that this has now become a major national security issue.
Well, I agree. And Congressman, I want to ask you, and I'll preface my question by saying I am fully aware of the fact that right now we only have the majority in the House, and it's a slim majority. And I'm also, fully aware of the fact that that when you're not the executive branch, there's only certain things you can do. And then at the same time, I recognize that we're dealing with a problem that is massive in its scale. But I guess what I'm about to ask you is this. What are y'all going to do? Because right now, I think the vast majority of the American public agrees with the fact that you went down there. We know that it's necessary for you to go see it. But we're also just really tired of press conferences, and we want to know, what can we do? Do we have to wait until Biden's out of office before we can get something done? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unless you want us to violate the Constitution and take, I guess the only way you can get the executive branch to do something without an election is to depose them. I mean, you served in the legislature. You understand this. There's a separation of powers. I've suggested and pushed for us to file suit in federal court because I think there's multiple violations of the separation of powers that are taking place from the Biden administration, unprecedented in the history of the country. But we've got a small margin in the House. We don't have the Senate. We passed a really good border security bill, H.R. 2, and it's sitting over the Senate. It's been sitting over there for 10 or 11 months since we passed it. But I don't know if we're going to abide by the Constitution. I don't know how you force the administration to do something that they don't want to do. Next week we're filing impeachment, articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, and I think
that'll
move through the House, and I think he'll be impeached, but the Senate won't convict him. It takes 2/3 vote in the Senate to convict him. So the elections have consequences, enormous consequences. And when President Trump was in office, he put enormous pressure on Mexico that threatened their economy. And I was talking with one of the top law enforcement guys in Texas, and he said that's the direction we need to go. Mexico does about $680 billion a year in trade with the U.S. We need to put that on the line and get them to doing what they did in Trump, making these people stay there. They're seeking asylum. They're supposed to stay in Mexico, not come here. They need to secure their southern border so those people are not crossing into Mexico and then coming across the country to our southern border. I know we can do this, but you got to have somebody that can take that action.
Well, and I agree with everything you just said, and I'm keenly aware of it. But let me ask you this: so there's a lot of talk right now about negotiations with the White House because they want, the White House wants Ukraine aid, and the Republicans are tying the idea of border security to it first. I mean, do you see the power of the purse is that that is certainly what you have right now. And the ability to not pass a budget that the administration wants. What do you see right now in terms of negotiations? I mean, you chair policy for the Republicans. What do you think is going to happen there that we can do? Because I really do believe, and I know you're up there, you're the one who's on the ground, you see things, and I'm not trying to pretend that I'm the one who's there, but I'm just asking, is there not a negotiation piece right now? Because I do believe that this is probably the largest national security crisis that we've had next to 9/11. Is this southern border being inundated the way it is?
I think, on that last point you made, I think we're going to wind up having people lose their lives because of this, and the blood will be on Biden's hands and on the Democrats' hands. But in terms of the negotiations, I talked with Speaker Johnson about this while we were at the border, and he's made it clear to Schumer that we've got to have border security. It's really up to Chuck Schumer whether or not he's going to accept the position that we've taken. But I just left the change of command for the adjutant general for the Alabama National Guard and stood there with a couple, a husband and wife, who are both in the National Guard, who has a daughter at the Merchant Marine that I nominated for that position, and told them that in the event that I'm fully aware that if we shut down the government, what it means to them, and that I've already got a letter prepared to go to the payroll officer, that I will not get paid. I'm not going to impose something on somebody else I'm not willing to suffer myself. So that may be where we wind up, Phil, is with a government shutdown.
Yeah. Well, and it's a crying shame. And let me ask you, I mean, you've got border Democrats. I mean, there are some in the House and the Senate who are border state Democrats, and of course, basically the whole nation's a border state right now. But those true border state Democrats, I mean, behind closed doors, do they not acknowledge that this is a really, really raw deal that that is happening right now?
Some of them do, and I think there's some of them that would vote with us on securing the border, but I don't know if they have the guts and the character to stand with us if it comes to a shutdown, to put pressure on their colleagues in the Senate and at the White House. I just don't see that. Maybe one or two.
But, yeah.
We're so divided right now. We're at one of the most dangerous places in the history of our country, Phil, and We're divided on just about everything you can think of, and we come up with new ways to divide ourselves, and it's going to cost us. I say this, and some people think it might be sounding a little I know more than you kind of thing, but there are things that some of us know that honestly I can't sleep at night. Because of what this administration has allowed to happen. And if you had asked me this when I first ran for office, that we would find ourselves in this position, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't believe that there'd be anybody in either party that would literally put our country at risk by opening our border. And part of what I think is going on here is that I don't think they're going to try to get all these people registered to vote. What they're going to do is move them into these states that are losing population. And the next census, everybody has to be counted for representational purposes. So I've got my staff looking into into this issue. Warren Davidson from Ohio has already introduced a bill that would prevent counting people who came here illegally for determining how many representatives a state can have. But I'm talking with Jim Jordan again, and Jim thinks that there's somewhere in the range of 10 or 12 million people that by the end of Biden's term that will have come into the country. Well, that's 14, 15 more representatives.
It's absolutely, it's unconscionable. And Congressman, I hate it, but we are absolutely out of time. I mean, I've got a break that I've actually pushed back a couple of minutes, but you're spot on here, sir. And I really just encourage all you guys in the fight. Thank you for going to the border. Thank you for bringing and raising awareness. But I know the American public is looking to see something happen. I hope it doesn't come to a government shutdown, but I also recognize that may be one of the only tools you guys have left in the toolbox for right now. Congressman Gary Palmer, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, thank you. Ran long. We'll come right back from the break. Probably have just a couple of minutes before we go to the next break, but that's the way we do it when we got somebody on the road who's calling into the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm laughing, Butters. How much time are we going to have, bro, for the next break? Like 2 minutes for the next break, right? Just saying.
Yeah, right at 2 minutes. So, but it was worth it. It was worth it.
It was. It was. Graham from Meridianville, by the way, texted in and says, defund the government. Shut it down until there's real action at the border. Here's the problem with that, Graham, is there's a lot of people that will get hurt, and I get it. I'm with you. I'm like, all right, take drastic measures. And then I also recognize I got family members in the military who wouldn't get paid. And then at the same time, I know for a fact that what they'll do is they'll use this as a bludgeon for campaign purposes only. It's a no-win situation. Gary from Decatur, why can't the House change the rules to a simple majority and defund the HHS and all the other governmental services funding the illegals once they're here by simple majority vote? Because it requires more than just a vote of the House. That's why. Well, and they can.
What happens when all those services are gone? They're still here. We still got to deal with them. So
yeah, the truce. Now some of it's bloated government, but the true services that are there, to include the military, they are still required. It's not like the need didn't go away. You're right. Kelly from Athens texted in, says, we all know there's a border crisis. Let's talk about how citizens and cities can prepare for the influx of illegals and all the no good headed our way. Yeah, Kelly, I think we're starting to see a lot of that, too, and I'm concerned about what some of that no good was going to wind up being. You are absolutely right. Thanks for texting in. And then Jeff from Indiana texted in and says, question, Phil, what currency do we want to have in your pocket other than precious metals when the dollar collapses? And he says, ask the congressman about a government shutdown, its impact. I'm worried about actual government shutdown because the dollar collapsed under the weight of our debt. Brother, I'm just telling you, it's a no-win situation, Jeff. Stem the tide or stop paying bills. It's just nuts. And then last one here, Phil, there's a shortage of dippers in the Right Side Radio freezer? No. I have done two dippers. I did Fighting for Freedom, DEI Must Die, and I am on my third dipper right now, the border on the ballot, which I'm about to finish up more of after this break. John, I'm working my way through it, brother. I just didn't announce them the usual way. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all want to talk about this show? Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We are back in the last half hour, and I got to tell you who else covers a lot of major ground before I go any further, and that's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground in our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care, with places clinics in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area, brand new one in Helena. Y'all, they've got them everywhere, and there's more coming. And they are open 7 days a week. And they will see all ages. I'm talking about, like, I always say geriatric down to pediatric. They'll see all of them. And I got to be honest with you. This is who I use personally. And I don't use them because they advertise. Not at all. I use them because I was pleased. And personally, that's where I want to go. Every time I walk in the door, it's like friendly and courteous and professional. And they get you in and get you out. And because I was so pleased, then I asked them, would they be willing to advertise? And they said, yeah. So Southern Immediate Care, owned, by the way, the whole chain by a Right Side ruffian. You might want to check them out. If you need medical attention, look them up online. Find the location nearest to you. Head on down there. And when you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right. So to clarify, this show, I mean, this has been an amazing show, to be honest. We're broadcasting remotely right now. I am not in studio. I've got what I call my studio in a box. All the little gadgets and gee-haws that I carry with me. And we're set up right now in Birmingham, where I had the opportunity earlier in the day to attend a gathering with state legislators and other conservative policy wonks. And, you know, like Stephanie Smith from the Policy Institute was there, and Uni Smith from the Eagle Forum was there. There were a number of lawmakers and law enforcers who were there to hear about efforts being made to bring legislation to Alabama that would help shield kids from pornography. So the whole first section, the whole first dipper was called Fighting for Freedom. And I talked about the fact that there are good fights to establish good laws. And I had this amazing interviews with two guys, Ben Bull and Chris McKenna, who are in the fight on a national scale. And they happen to be visiting Alabama today. So that was dipper one. Dipper number two, we did a segment I called DEI Must Die, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. It's got to go away. It's crushing our corporate culture. It is ruining bottom lines. It is making it out to be as if merit no longer matters. It's only about your demographics. And so DEI must die. And I am now on number three, border on the ballot. So border is on the ballot. You remember 2016? 2016, when Trump got elected, came down the golden escalator at Trump Tower. And basically changed the landscape. And he began talking about, I'm going to build a wall. A big, beautiful wall. Now, I wish he'd gotten more wall built, but he actually built more wall than anybody had in quite some time. And, oh, by the way, he was fought left and right by a Democrat Congress. Remember, he actually tried to use military dollars to help build part of it, and they tried to block that. And then, you know, at every turn, he was being hampered. I can tell you right now, if we can get Trump back in office, or for that matter, any Republican, how about that? If we can get an executive branch Republican combined with a majority in the House and the Senate, you will see a wall being built. I gear on freaking tee it. But right now, what's frustrating is to hear what Gary Palmer, Congressman Palmer, who I respect greatly, to say a moment ago, and he's right, I get it. There are limited options available for dealing with the issue right now when all you have is the members, a very slim majority in the House. You don't have a majority in the Senate. You don't have the White House. So what can they do? Well, right now what they can do is, A, they are starting impeachment proceedings against Mayorkas. That has been announced, and that is happening. Mayorkas made just a jackass of it. Butters, can I have some jackassery, please? Can you give me, I mean, for Mayorkas' benefit, some jackassery? There it is. It was the most god-awful interview I have. I mean, it was awful. So Brett Baer on Fox interviewed Mayorkas, and I think it was yesterday. And even Brett Baer was frustrated afterwards. He said that was one of those interviews that you know you're going to ask the questions, you're never going to get an answer. But he asked great questions. And at one point, though, he did get an answer. He asked him, if you get more funding from Congress, and it is specifically related, though, to stemming the flow and increasing the Border Patrol's ranks, will you take it? And he said no. Because what the administration wants to do is they want to basically sort of work their way into having more processing dollars. They want to process them as they come through. They want to quickly get them on a plane to another part of the country. They want to spread them out where they want them. They want to even out, you know, sort of leveling out all the illegal aliens around the United States. They want the money for processing, not and for, you know, for providing them blankets and Obama phones when they get here. But the truth of the matter is, we really need to stem the flow. And so, yes, the border is absolutely on the ballot. I think the border is going to be one of the biggest issues again, as big as it was, if not bigger than it was in 2016. It's going to be a ballot issue. It's going to be a campaign issue that you're going to see the likes of which are going to be, the campaign commercials are going to be dedicated to this very issue. Speeches are given just to this very issue. I guarantee there are some people out there that are so upset about it, they'll go to the polls just on this issue. There are a lot of single-issue voters. I like to think that I'm I tend to vote, you know, party direct. I'm a Republican. I tend to vote conservative. So in a primary, I'm looking for the most conservative candidate who I think can win. But then there's a lot of folks out there who are what I would call single-issue voters. What do you say about school choice? That's all they care about. What do you say about fiscal accountability? That's all they care about. There are going to be people in this election who are so sick of what they're seeing with the southern border that they will go to the polls solely on the issue of the southern border for the candidate they think will best control the issue. And you watch. But I bet if we did exit polling right now, if there was an election today and we were doing exit polling, we would see that the southern border is probably one of the driving forces for people going to the polls, especially those who are what I call undecideds. Those who, you know, they just vote, I vote for the man, I vote for the person. I'm not a party person. I vote for the man. I understand that. At the same time, I like to know what team they're on, because I think that also matters. But yes, there are those who are going to vote single issue. The ballot, the border is definitely on the ballot. Story here, by the way, came from Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro wrote a piece that I thought was pretty wise, and it tends to indicate that the shine's off the apple a little bit, even with the mainstream media. But what's also amazing is how much cover the media is still giving to Democrats on this issue. I mean, you have to look at it and go, okay, you cannot in good conscience believe that what is happening right now is Republicans' fault. If we were in the majority, I'd say own it, fellas, own it. If Trump was still in office in his second term because, 2020 hadn't gone the way it did, I'd say own it, fellas, own it. It's ours, but it's not. The unmitigated disaster that we have at the southern border kicked off in spades with the Biden administration. When he came into office, he began dismantling the policies and the executive orders that the Trump administration had put in solely because they were Trump, and I've really come to believe because he's an open borders man. He didn't want to say it. He doesn't want to say, well, I'm for open borders, but he won't address the problem, which is pretty much what Ben Shapiro was saying here. Ben Shapiro says what he wants to do is increase his processing power. He does not actually want to cut off the flow. If you want illegal immigration to stop, you need to cut off the flow. That's exactly what the Biden administration is unwilling to do. And he goes on to say, leaving the border wide open is totally insane. So it has to be an ideological thing, because the reality is that even all of those who are usually swinging for the Democrats, they are absolutely being replaced in the party by college-educated white liberals who believe that leaving the border open is some kind of moral requirement. This is where we are. I think we are at an ideological impasse. This is beyond bad policy. This is beyond just, well, it was Trump, so we're doing the opposite. It's beyond that. What we're seeing right now is an ideological bent. They are ideologically determined to leave that border open as long as they possibly can. And I am so glad. By the way, Jeff from Indiana called in the other day, and he said, what about the census? What's going to happen when the census is, you know, like California is hemorrhaging people. At the same time, they're taking in tons of illegals. Is that going to count on the census? And I was glad to hear Congressman Palmer saying that's one of the things he's got his staff looking into, is can we address the census issues that are being created by this influx? Millions of people here illegally.
So, Phil, you were saying, what was it, 300-ish thousand a month?
Last month in December alone, 304,000 crossed in 1 month.
So would you say a measly little 5% of that would be a reasonable number to go and say that's probably 5% that are kind of up to no good, right? So where I'm going with that is, can you imagine if 15,000 people a month were coming over in uniforms, like, actually invading our country, what would be going on right now? It's mind-boggling. And I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not saying, and I'm assuming there's probably some good people in but 300,000, I don't think 5% is, and that's probably not enough, but that's still a lot. 15,000 people.
Yeah. And when you have several hundred, I mean, like for instance, the terror watch list, I want to say in the last, and I'm going from memory, so to forgive me for this, but for the terror, you can look it up too, Butters, if you want to, but the terror watch list, the people that were snagged, who were on the terror watch list coming across our border illegally in the last year of the Trump administration, I want to say it was something like 17 in the whole fiscal year. We just passed several hundred here in the most recent year under Biden. Are you looking it up right now, bro?
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I've got limited capability for looking it up over here at the mobile studio, but it's an unconscionable thing to think that much is streaming across our border. Realize how many more are those are on the terror watch list, and then that's not even including all the cartel members, the MS-13s, all of them.
I mean, to Shapiro's point, I mean, I think he's spot on. No sane person is sitting there going, "Oh yeah, yeah, this, it'll be fine. It's gonna be fine. It'll work out great.
This will work out, and it's gonna wash out in the end." No. Well, did you find the numbers, by the way?
I am not finding it right off the bat. I'll try during the break and see if I can find.
Well, speaking of break, dude, I think we're there. Let's go ahead and take the last break of the day, last break of the week, by the way. All you folks in go home mode, just be careful on the roads. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. So, Butters, did you find those numbers, by the way, on the watch list crossing?
I am not having luck. I'm found some other startling statistics on the border protection
more
website.
Stuff you didn't want to know, right?
Yes. Year to date, we've already had more enforcement actions than FY18. The entire fiscal year of 2018, we've already had more, 617,000 actions on the Border Patrol website. It's nuts.
Good night. Good night. JT from Lacey Springs has texted in. He said, as I may confirm, border crossings daily are equal to the number of daily childbirths in the U.S. Have a pleasant weekend, is what he said. Wow. I tell you what, so I got a couple more texts here. Jeff from Indiana did text in again. He said, I wouldn't worry about the collapse of the dollar if there was an end in sight of our overspending. I wonder what the benchmark would be before we realize it's no longer sustainable. Yep, there you go. Dave from, this is Dave. I don't know where Dave's from. Dave says, Biden represents the American Communist Party. They are deliberately destroying us. I think that is pretty much a given. You know, there was a time when I thought, I get the fact that he's a Democrat, so it's going to be different. And I get the fact that he's, you know, opposed to Trump, so he doesn't want to do anything Trump did. I get that. It's way past that. I'm so far past that. I am literally of the mind that there is a determination to restructure our nation as we know it.
So I did find, back November of 23, from October last year to this. Okay, yep, so year to year, 169 people whose name matched those on the watch list compared with 98 during the previous fiscal year and 15 in 2021.
There you go. 2021 being the fiscal year 2021, right?
Yeah.
So coming in on the tail end of Trump policies. It was 21, and then immediately upon the implementation of all of Biden's, you know, new policies and the rescission of Trump policies, it began to escalate dramatically at that point on the terror watch list. Crazy. Wow. And I got one more here. Steve from Huntsville just texted in and said, just got a text message from someone promoting Wes Kitchens. I asked him why he's accepting AEA money. He must not be that conservative. That special election's coming up. Change the subject there, but Steve, you are correct. Hey, just so you know, too, a question I had a moment ago with Congressman Gary Palmer on the border issues. CNN's got a story. Yes, I went to CNN. CNN's got a story, a border deal to nowhere. The story came out yesterday. So right now, there's a trio of senators who have been apparently like laboring, it says, for weeks to cut a complex immigration deal with the Biden administration. This is not rocket science. They're going to make it rocket science, though. Because Biden wants money for Ukraine and Israel. Republicans are saying, we want our border, we want our security first. But it says a growing number of House Republicans, though, are issuing blunt warnings that any Senate compromise stands virtually no chance of passing their chamber. Keep in mind, earlier last year, the House, Republican majority, I get it, the House passed what was known as H.R. 2. It was a pretty strong border security deal. It's been sitting on Schumer's desk since last July. He refuses to bring it up. It's a non-starter for Democrats. They don't want it. Why? Because it's true border security. In the meantime, they want to blame Republicans and go, you're the reason why we can't have any security because you won't do what Biden wants. That's ridiculous. Biden doesn't want security. He wants processing dollars. But a large number of House Republicans are saying they're not going to accept any border deal unless it looks like the one they passed on H.R. 2. And they want something, and they want something soon. I did see it says that GOP lawmakers contend that it's a mistake for Democrats in the White House to only negotiate with Senate Republicans when the House GOP buy-in is going to be necessary for it to pass. That's true. And I heard yesterday, I'm trying to think what a show is. I mean, it's something on Fox, I believe. But basically that Speaker of the House has now said, Mike Johnson has now said, he wants to be in the White House negotiations. He does not, he's tired of the Senate telling him how it's going to be. He wants to be in the negotiations as a Speaker of the House, and he should be. I mean, he's a Speaker of the House of Representatives. And the fact that he's not been in them thus far is rather concerning in itself. All right, there it was. What an incredible day, man. John from Huntsville, by the way, texted in and says, Phil, your guests were spectacular today, so they all get A double pluses. Phil, you saved Butters a day from getting a B minus by saying you would share his point deduction. So he gets an A minus, and you get a solid A. So congratulations to all of Phil's amazing guest speakers who are today's co-champions. Thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. Well, listen, all of you guys, have an amazing weekend. Enjoy your time. This is like the first normal weekend post-holidays, but praying that you guys do well. Get some rest. Come back refreshed and ready for another round of Right Side Radio, 2 o'clock on Monday. We'll see you then.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.